if you have your Bibles, would you hold them up? You know that my entire sermon's about the Bible today. How many of you love the Word of God? How many of you believe the Word of God? You trust the Word of God? You live by the Word of God? All right. Let's make our declaration. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let me ask you something before I jump in. How many of you worried about a double hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico? Anybody? You worried about that? Oh, we're not worried about that. As a matter of fact, what's going to happen is the one that's headed for us early is going to take a left and head over to Texas. Sorry, Texas. And the other one is going to keep going west as well. And it's, sorry, Lafayette, Lake Charles, it's going to be over there. May get a little rain on Tuesday and Wednesday. But other than that, it's going to be a decent week. Don't sweat the small stuff. All right? I believe that. The Lord said that's what's going to happen. All right. I started a few weeks ago the series entitled This Is Us, talking about the church. Because I believe at this time, historically, the time that we're in our culture, I believe that the church must be ready for what's coming. That what you're in is not what's coming. What you're in is preparation ground for what's coming next. You know, sometimes we go through some valleys, and in those valleys is preparation time, God getting us ready for the next big thing. Sometimes we get so lost down in the valley, we think that's it. Oh, no. God, somebody said, no, bartender, I want to cancel my order for a Corona and two hurricanes. You got nothing to worry about. The church must be ready for what's coming. What's coming, I believe, is going to be one of the greatest things that this world has ever witnessed. What the thing that we're going to see is people turning to Jesus in greater numbers than we've ever witnessed before. I don't believe that in the natural. I'm sensing that in the supernatural. I believe the Spirit of God has been speaking to me, not just to me, but to church leaders all over the world. And church leaders are speaking out that we are in the beginnings of what is going to become the greatest move of God we've ever seen. I want you to know, this is not even part of my sermon. I want you to know this. I believe, this is just me spiritually, I believe that people are tired of going to church to be entertained. I believe that people want to go to church because they want to meet with God. And if they meet with God, they leave the place different than they walked in the place. I don't want to go to church to check a box. Matter of fact, I never started going to church to check a box. I started going to church because I met the Jesus of the church who changed my life, and I never wanted my life to be the same. I went to church for 35 years, walked in, did my thing, walked out, and nothing ever changed. I was the same on the way out the door as I was on the way in the door, and I went, if this is all that religion has to offer, I don't want any part of it. And then came Jesus, right? That's the difference. Religious people quit being religious and enter into relationship. And when you begin to meet the Jesus of the relationship and begin to know him, things in your life will never be the same. Like two or three of y'all are like, yes. Week number one of the series, I started This Is Us, talking about vision and purpose of new beginnings. I want you to understand who we were as a church, what we were as a church, what God has called us to do. What's God called us to do? Man, Nancy, you're good. You get a prize. Extra cup of coffee for you. You already had to. And the purpose of new beginnings is to be what? Who said that? Carla back there. You. Week number two, I transitioned to talking about our core values. You know, every one of you has core values. You just probably haven't defined what they are and haven't written them down. But I decided 10 years ago that I wanted to define our core values because your core values tell you what's really important to you. I didn't want people to guess what was important to New Beginnings, what was important to me as the pastor. So I wrote down these 10 things that I felt were of vital importance. Remember, week number one, what's the most important thing that's our number one core value?
Jesus
will always be our number one core value. Last week, I talked about the core value of prayer. Listen, let me just tell you, let me give you a little testimony. I talked about prayer last week, and since then, my wife gets, her phone blows up every day with people telling her, this prayer request was answered. This prayer request was answered. I mean, in a 48-hour period, she goes, I lost count of how many prayer requests just this week. Let me tell you another testimony. Right after church in the second service last week, I walked down. I was standing right here, and a gentleman and lady who are moving to another state walked up to me and said, you need to pray for us to find a house. The place we're moving to is a hot area, and houses, as soon as they go on the market, they sell. We need a house, and we cannot find one. The minute we go to put in a bid, somebody outbids us, and we lose it. I prayed that today would be the day. I prayed it last week. Today would be the day that you find the house. Well, they walked out, and they got in the car, and his wife had an email from a real estate agent in another state, and they looked at the house, and they, I don't know, I'm not sure, and they blew it off. And then they began to look during the week, and they found two other houses and made some offers, and those offers fell through. And then on Friday, that house that they looked at in the parking lot right after I prayed came up again. And they remembered the words. Pastor Eddie said, today would be the day we found the house. And the house that they found immediately, they reject. So they made an offer Friday. The offer was accepted. They bought the house. It's a done deal. I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. God is listening to your prayers, righteous people. Today, we're going to continue talking about our core values and talking about the application of Scripture. So one of our core values is we believe that the Bible should be taught for life change. Now, I could stand here week after week and give you a theology lesson, and I could give you Greek and Hebrew words and things like that, and it would sound all great. It would, first of all, number one, it'd be boring as all get out. I know because I sat in seminary classes for hours falling asleep at this boring stuff that was being talked about. It just is what it is. I'm just telling you. That's why they call seminary cemetery, because your spirit dies up in there. Or I can preach to you, because that's what God's called me to do, to preach to you. And in my preaching, I'm going to teach you some things, but I'm going to equip you every week to walk out of here ready to face the battles that you're going to face Monday through Saturday. That's why we believe that the Bible should be taught for life change. I told you 3 weeks ago, what you fully give your heart to will become of the utmost importance to you. I took that from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus, teaching his disciples, said these words, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Here it is. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you give your heart to will become of the utmost importance to you. The Bible. Do you know the Bible is a preparation manual for living the abundant life here on earth? And it's a preparation guide for living the next life. Children of God, this is not it. Yeah, God wants you to live abundantly here, but he's got a better one waiting for you. A place called heaven, right? So if God was so specific to leave us a set of instructions, promises, and principles, do you think he meant what he said? I used to say this all the time, and I love this saying, I'm just dumb enough to believe God, and take him at his word, which is why I see the things I see and have experienced the things I've experienced. And the minute you decide to quit doubting, and the minute you decide to start believing and trusting in what God says, not what you see or don't see, you'll start seeing things you've never seen before. Do you know that the Bible has far outsold any other book ever published? Let me give you the numbers. In the last 50 years, the Bible has sold somewhere near 3.9 billion copies. The next closest selling book is a book by Chinese ruler Mao Zedong, and it's only sold 800 million copies. He ain't even reached a billion yet. We're about to hit four. So it is believed that the Bible is so popular because of its convincing claims to be inspired by God. I don't know about you, but forget the convincing claims. This book is inspired by God. I'm going to give you a few reasons why at New Beginnings we value Scripture and why we've made the application of Scripture such an important value to our church. Starting in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen, all Scripture came from God. That means in the beginning to come, Lord Jesus, in the end, right? Every word in between. All Scripture is God-breathed. When you open your Bible, say, well, that one doesn't apply. They all apply. God spoke them. It's a training manual for God's people, and it prepares the reader to serve God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. It says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. I want you to get your mind around this idea. Do you know that everything in this creation will burn up and go away? Nothing will stand except one thing, the word of God. You can burn up the Bible, the physical Bible, but the word of God ain't never going anywhere. You understand? When everything else is gone, the word will stand forever. It supersedes all of the things. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. It's a teacher to the reader, and it's a hope giver. You know, every time I read the Word, you know what happens? It doesn't matter what my attitude is going into reading. When I come out of reading, my attitude has always changed. I always have hope. When I saw things as dark, all of a sudden the light shined on them. Everything changes when I read the Word. I tell people all the time, you need to have a daily time reading the Word of God. I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 5 seconds, but you should be reading the Word every single day. And if you don't have time to read because you leave the house so early, then put it on in your car and listen on the way to work and listen on the way home and listen at lunchtime. Listen to what I'm telling you. You can never get enough of the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know that it's unlike any other book ever written because the words were inspired by the God who rose from the dead and now sits in heaven. He says, hey, I left you this instruction manual. You know, some people call the Bible God's basic instructions before leaving earth. That's kind of corny, but it makes perfect sense. And all of these reasons is why we put such a high priority on the Word of God at New Beginnings. And it is why I have you make that proclamation every Sunday. Because sometimes we just need to convince ourselves that what I'm about to hear is from God. What I'm about to hear is what I need to hear today. It doesn't matter what's happening out there. We have to sometimes tune that off or turn that off so that we can be reprogrammed, so to speak, right? For the sake of application today, we're going to talk about a story. You heard Carla kind of give it away. I'm gonna preach from Ezekiel chapter 37. So if you want to go there, you can turn there right now. I love the story in Ezekiel chapter 37. And honestly believe that God's word coupled with his faithful people, the church, have the power to change the world. Yes. Anybody else besides me and Nancy believe that? Yeah. And listen, faithful people, powered with the word of God, believing, trusting, we can change the world around us because we've been empowered to do so. Amen? Yes. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin, and I'll put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath. And then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet. Here's the words. A what? A vast army. Here in Ezekiel's story, we see God asking the man of God to do what seemed to be impossible. Yes. Speak my words in a valley of bones and watch them come alive. And I would say that what happened here is pretty life-changing, especially if you're one of those bones. Maybe it wasn't so life-changing for Ezekiel, but I promise you, if you were one of those piles of bones, I'm telling you, your life changed pretty radical that day, right? Here at New Beginnings, you know, I want you to know we believe in New Beginnings that God is in the business of giving us another chance. Now, you know, people say the term, God is in the business of a second chance. We never use that term, second chance, because that puts a number on it. And if we only say God is in the business of a second chance, that means we're probably all done. Right. Yes. Except me, but, you know. Our God is in the business of another chance. And when we learn to apply God's word to our lives and our situations, we're going to see miraculous things happen. So what is God looking for to change the world around us with his word? What is God wanting to do in his people to change this world? Here they are. I'm going to give you three simple things this morning. Again, practically speaking, God is looking for, number one, willing people. You know, when God went to Ezekiel, he said, you know, I don't even have to explain this to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, go to the valley of dry bones and prophesy to the bones. Speak the word of the Lord to the dry bones. You know, we never see Ezekiel go, could you send me to some living people? I like preaching to living people. I like preaching to people who say amen and hallelujah. I like preaching to people who respond and smile at me and clap. Yes. God, must it be a valley of dead people? You know, as a prophet, sometimes if you read the book of Ezekiel, as a matter of fact, in my daily reading, I'm actually in the book of Ezekiel reading it. I'm not even to this story we read yet. And as I've been reading, sometimes the words of Ezekiel were harsh. Sometimes they were instructional. Sometimes they were a warning. But always to living people. Except for this time. Go to the Valley of Bones. Now I want you to understand what these bones represent. These bones represent death. They represent the end. When you find a bone in that chicken wing you eating later on, and they go, chicken live. That chicken's dead. It means fried up on your plate. There's not a whole lot of chance that anything else is going to happen except you enjoying a chicken wing. I want you to understand this. God doesn't see things as you see them. And God is not moved by what's present or not present in the situation. See, God didn't look at that valley and go, man, this is going to be a tough one. I see just a bunch of bones. They're not even connected. They're all just scattered in the valley. What God saw in the valley was a valley full of potential. What was missing from the congregation in the valley for old Ezekiel that day? Life and potential, right? Now, Ezekiel never questions God. God says, hey, son of man, can these bones live? Of course, Ezekiel does a smart thing. He defers. Yeah. Well, God, only you know. And Ezekiel had to be thinking thoughts like this because let's face it, we're human. Even as a man of God, I'm human. God, you sure you got me in the right place? Because I don't see a lot of life happening here. These bones are pretty dried up. I see some cracking going on. I mean, it's dusty up in here. There hadn't been life here in a very long time. It doesn't look good, God. I mean, the bones are pretty dry. This valley is just full of death and destruction. Could you send me somewhere else? I want you to know, when God sends you wherever it is he sends you, to that family member that you've been witnessing to for years, and every time they see you coming, he goes, oh, here he comes again. You're going to talk to me about Jesus again. Or that coworker you've been inviting to church or whatever, and they see you and they want to walk the other way. Listen to what I'm telling you. Don't ever stop speaking the word of God to what seems to be a lost cause. All God has ever been looking for since the beginning of time is willing participants in his grand master plan. Listen, his grand master plan was to save this world. Amen? And one thing I believe that the church lacks today, not this church, but other churches, is enough willing people to go empowered with God's word and believing it is going to do what he said it would do and going and doing it, the willingness to go. There's not enough people who are willing to go. The second thing that I believe God's looking for is for believing people. In Ezekiel 37:4, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. And I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I'll put breath in you and you will come to life. And I love these last words. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Do you know that I don't think there was ever a doubt in Ezekiel's mind that he was the Lord? But sometimes a little evidence is helpful. You know, I'm a pretty good example of God using the simple things of the world to confound the wise. You know, when I came to Christ at 35 years old, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up with my daddy wasn't a preacher and my grandfather wasn't a preacher. And I went to seminary with all those kinds of people. Oh, I'm going to be the third generation, fourth generation preacher in my family. And what about you? I'm first generation. I just got saved. And God called me to ministry. And these are like young kids. I'm an old guy, right? But God's been doing that since the beginning of time. Confounding wise people with simple things. And God says, I know you don't look the part. You certainly don't act the part. Which is going to make it all the more real. When I do something in your life, people go, well, I better wake up and listen because I know that dude. Let me ask you something. Do you have something in your life that appears to be dead or dying? Maybe a marriage that's falling apart, a child that's gone astray, a dead-end job, a financial hardship, or maybe you just need a physical healing. Do you know that the only thing standing between you and your miracle is a little thing called belief? You know that God's word coupled with your belief in anything is possible? Not enough convincing in this room yet. I said the only thing that separates me from many other people is, I said a little while ago, I'm just dumb enough to believe God and take him at his word. And therefore, I have seen and witnessed God do things that you haven't. Because I believed him. Begin speaking the word of God over your dead or dying situation and watch life return to it. How do I know? Why am I convinced that the word has and does carry power? Isaiah chapter 55 verses 10 and 11 says, God speaking through Isaiah, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I want you to understand, with God's word, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And listen, I'm not here to tell you when. I'm here to tell you the possibility exists in your situation if you believe him. Keep speaking the word of God over your situation until God says it's finished. Have you been praying and prophesying over your situation and you haven't seen anything happen yet? The problem is most of us stop one day short of the miracle. Well, I guess God's just not going to answer me. I haven't heard anything. I haven't felt anything. We like those feelings, right? I haven't felt anything yet. And so I guess God just wants me to stop. Listen, if you haven't heard God say stop, then you don't stop until the bones start rattling. You hear what I'm saying? That situation looks pretty dead. I had a couple come in my office about 6 or 7 years ago, and they called me and they wanted me to mediate their property settlement. They had been married 33 years at the time, and they came in and the wife had her legal pad, the big yellow one, you know. And on the pad was written a bunch of things. I didn't know what it was. And I said, what am I mediating? Well, I want you to mediate this property settlement. So she starts, I want the chair in this room and I want this. I'm just sitting there and the Lord speaks to me and says, say these words to them. Has a 33-year investment come down to a list of stuff on a piece of paper? They shut up. I said, isn't it a shame you have three children? You have a 33-year investment in a marriage, in a relationship, and now it's all come down to a piece of paper and some stuff. So, you know, if I was one of y'all, I'd say, keep it all. I don't want any of it. They said, we're going to have to get back to you. They left my office, and they began to seek kind of more extensive marriage counseling, and they're still together. When we speak his word over our situation, claim the truth, believe the truth, and then just continue to pray and prophesy over your situation until God says stop or until you see things move. You know, there have been a few times, I'm going to be honest, my wife doesn't even know this. There have been a few times over the last 10 years, maybe you do know, that in the 10 years of starting new beginnings, there were a few times I had been so discouraged early on that I was like, I'm going to quit. And then I would hear the word of the Lord. And the Lord said, I didn't tell you to quit. And the thought would go right out the other side, and I would keep doing what I was doing. Because I knew I hadn't seen the miracle yet. The Lord spoke to me early on, before New Beginnings ever had its first meeting. And the Lord spoke the word significant. He said, New Beginnings Church is going to be a significant work of God on the North Shore. Now, I don't know what the word significant means to you, but the word significant means to me something pretty significant. Yeah. It depends on who you are, I guess. I have a good and big imagination. And I would say, but Lord, it's not happening. He said, yes, it's not happening yet. He goes, it's happening. You just don't see it yet. And I would go back to work and go back to doing what I was doing. And there were some times, man, how are we gonna make it? Like, this is not even happening. But God wasn't finished yet. One of my prayers has always been, Lord, bring something new out of me. Continue to bring something new out of me. And if it means you got to crush some things to get something new. Do what you got to do. The Lord the other day spoke to me Friday morning or Saturday morning. We were getting ready Friday morning. And the Lord said, I did bring something out of you. He said, I took what was dead and what was going nowhere. And look what I've done. So I just kept praying and prophesying the word of God over my situation. And now today, the idea of quitting, not even an option. I've grown up a little bit too. God's looking for some people to just believe him. What did he say in verse 6 of Ezekiel 37? When you see these things, then you will know that I am the Lord. That's belief. Anyone in here knows the Lord, has seen the Lord, and knows what the Lord wants to do? Anybody in here knows the Lord? I know what the Lord wants to do. Are you convinced? And then finally, God is looking for some soldiers. In verse 10, he said, so I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. If we're going to be a church that helps usher in the next great revival, we better be a church of soldiers, willing to speak, believing what he says, and willing to join forces to see it happen. We know and we have learned that one may put 1,000 to flight and two, 10,000. Listen, we are much better together than we are apart. Listen, I imagine this. A force of willing people, a force of believing people, and a force of people partnering together to become the army of the living God on the earth, all joined together with the word of God and the power of Almighty God to change the world around you. James says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Not seeing what you want to happen yet in your life? Are you doing what it says? Just begin to do what it says. Leave the results to him. Quit. Well, I did it. I'm waiting. I did it. No, you just keep doing it till the results happen. Listen, Ezekiel stood above a valley of dead things, and he began to speak and prophesy the word of God over what was dead and done and finished, and he didn't stop until he heard the bones rattle. Would you stand with me? Any doers of the word in the house, if that's you, just raise your hand. The doers mean you're willing. Say it with me. Say, I'm willing. Say, I'm believing. And I'm partnering to do your work on this earth. Father, we love you. We give you all our praise today because you're worthy. God, we have this morning a vast army in this place. And those watching us online, you're not separated from us either. You're part of this. And together we can do and see great things on this earth if we just are willing, if we'll believe, and we'll partner with other believers. Let's see it happen in our lifetime. Will you do that with me? Thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing in our church and in our midst. And God, my prayer is that not one person leaves this place today without knowing that they had an encounter with the living Lord Jesus Christ and that things are not the same as they were when they walked in this place in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.